You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
You're a great guy, right?
Okay.
Back when you got married, you were a handsome guy.
There's
got
to be something. Now you're implying that I'm not handsome any longer?
No, I still think you're handsome.
You don't respect me?
Sherry is gorgeous. So there'll have to be something a little extra. And I'm leaning towards, if we saw this video, that now all of a sudden,
we'd be like, kind of put all the pieces
yes,
in place.
Exactly right.
Take it. Take it.
So all the naysayers would be like, okay, now I
get it. Oh, now it makes sense.
This is DCR.
Now I get it.
Like that Ron Jeremy is landing women.
Exactly right.
I got you.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN, presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. Going to get to the calls on the NFL. Ian Begley at 7:30 this morning. We'll give our three stars out right at the end of the show. Big news at the station. Why are you so hysterical? What's happening? What did I miss?
Oh, my God. Now, that rejoin, I could just imagine, for some reason, I don't know, my mind, it's just when you say, take that, I could just imagine you trying that one time with Shane, or just her looking at you like, what are you saying right now?
No, it wouldn't go over well.
Take that.
Take that. No, I would never. I mean, see, you would say that. I would never say that.
Like trying to spice it up? Like no. You just thought like you tried to spice it up?
She'd probably take put that. Me in the garage. Take that. You take that. You take that. I wouldn't even think of saying that. Like forget about would I say it. It wouldn't even cross my mind. But take that. No. You would do. Oh. You would do that though. I know. So I guess.
Like, no, not
you should
my
be
wife,
stuffed,
no.
Honestly.
Who's going to stuff me?
I was about to tell everyone the big news in case they've been under a rock for the weekend. The K Show, Rick's favorite show in the history of radio, starts at 1:55 starting. You say, oh, when is that? Like April 20? No, today, 1:55 till 6:30, Monday through Friday, it's the K Show. You say, what happens at 6:30? Carlin takes over at 6:30. And then you say, and I can hear those people out there saying, what happens to Max? Now I can't listen to Max. You can. 10:50 a.m. It's so beautifully orchestrated, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, I got my open because of the K-Show. Coming in Thursday hot with, this is indeed the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg show with you for the next 3 hours. The 21.
So you're going to rip off their,
no,
their
I'm
show?
Not. I'm joking. I'm joking.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes.
And- yes. Just. And Michael, who if anyone else would do it, would be like, they'd stole my intellectual property. Would be like, oh, Rick, please. It's so wonderful when you say it. This love affair with the two of you guys.
Which something I've been sense. Working on. This is new to the station. Where's the Billy Joel? Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes, my friends.
Yeah, you'll probably have the same open. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This isn't
the
he always no, but
says, the this is saying like instrumental open, right?
Oh yeah. But yeah, but that's it. This he always goes, this is indeed the Michael Kay show.
Right.
So I would just open up. This is indeed DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Indeed. Why does he throw the indeed in there?
That's his thing. Everyone has their own
thing.
Every but host has their own thing.
You know the other 23 hours, that was never his thing.
That's, no, he picked that up during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a new addition.
Yes, I like that addition.
I do. I like that as well. The other 23 hours are up to you. Now I guess it's 22 and a half hours.
22 and a half.
Right? Because they're going to extend the show, which is great for them. All right. Ira in Staten Island wants to take you to task, and I'd like to hear that. Ira, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Rick, you got to chill out, man. You know, I spoke with Dave. I was ecstatic on Saturday. Listen, you got to have trust in Douglas. You know, he's positioned himself perfectly. He played his cards right. He's keeping things close to the vest. You can't worry that San Francisco likes a quarterback at three who's going to turn out better than Zach Wilson if that's who Douglas decides to pick, and it's certainly looking that way. You got to have faith in the guy. And you know what? This thing is great. The only thing that's still just like a 1% part of me is that if somebody entices him to take five picks to move down, he would think about it. But I'm even past that. He's locked in. They're taking Zach Wilson, and it's a perfect fit for Mike LaFleur's offense. Hopefully he's going to build an offensive line in the draft, and you got to sit back and relax and enjoy this because the Jets are getting themselves a franchise.
He can't do it, Ira. He can't do it. He is a nervous wreck. He's a mess when it comes to this Jets situation, and he can't do it. How is it that you can do it? You've been a fan for like 60 years, and he can't do it.
Because we're due. I've been for 45, 50 years. I'm looking for franchise quarterback. Pennington was nice. O'Brien was nice. Sanchez did a couple of good things. But, you know, at the end of the day, they do. They just, you know, Boston ended up winning a World Series. I guess the Cubs are that. You know, whoever, whatever. You know, eventually it comes around and it's your day. And I think it's time. It's time the Jets are going to get some luck, some success, and I think you're just going to have to trust Joe Douglas and just enjoy the ride, man, because I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, just enjoy the ride, Rick.
Oh, listen, I'm going to enjoy the ride, but I mean, what I was talking about is just blind faith. Like, have faith in what? I mean, when was the last time? I mean, this is not something that in the past we've been good at. I don't care what regime it's been. We have not been good at finding
but
a quarterback.
This is a different GM. Everyone likes him. He had a good draft year one. Why not believe in what he's doing? There's going to be so much time to destroy him if he messes this thing up.
Listen, I can believe and still be a little bit nervous about the decision. I mean, I have no other choice but to trust him.
You should buy all in. I think you should go all in. Nothing negative until
there's
reason
for negativity.
You're trying
to set me up. I know what you're doing. You're trying to set me up. I know exactly what you're doing. You're trying to set me up.
I'm not trying to set you up.
God, I hope like hell you're in the same position. I hope like hell you're in the same position that year three doesn't turn out right. Now all of a sudden you got to pick another quarterback.
Why would you do that to me?
You're sitting in my seat.
Why would you? I don't. You know what? You're a bad guy. I don't wish badly upon you.
And I get to tell you, just be patient, Dave. Just be patient, Dave. Just trust the new guy. Just be all in with the new guy.
Patience. I think you want to see results. My point is, I think you're going to see results. I think you're going to be a far superior team this year than you were last year.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Again, track record for the Jets has not been good with quarterbacks. We agree on that?
Agree 100%.
Okay. Also, when you look at the draft, especially high-end drafts, it's a crapshoot with quarterbacks. It is a crapshoot. So of the four that get selected in maybe the top five picks, maybe they go 1, 2, 3, 4. Who knows? Not all four of them are going to be good.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm saying that still would lead me to be a little bit nervous. Kind of relying on the fact that I've seen Kyle Shanahan work with quarterbacks. So I would trust whoever he chooses is probably going to be pretty good. Right?
I understand your statement, and it does make sense, but I think you just have to believe that Joe Douglas is good. Because if he's not, I mean, you pick second. It's a rich quarterback draft. You have the GM in place that you've been excited for a long time. I mean, it's not McCagnan. It's not Idzik. It's nobody like that. I have to believe it's going to be different this time. I have to.
Well, you have no other choice. But again, you're talking about a San Francisco 49ers team. That's a really good team that has a quarterback under contract making reasonable money that's taken them to a Super Bowl. They probably should have won the Super Bowl. They're willing to trade. They're willing to move off of him, even if it's after this year, and trade away what they traded away to get up to three to take a quarterback. They got to believe whoever they're taking at three is going to be an awesome quarterback to do all that.
So the Jets have played such mind games with you that this is the rational thinking that you're having at this moment. That because the Niners are so well run and you believe in their coach that you're nervous they're going to get it right and you're going to get it wrong, even though you're going to have the pick of the litter before them.
Yeah, but I mean, how can you not see why I would be a little bit nervous? Kyle Shanahan's already proved that he's a great coach.
Great.
As much as we want to believe the new coaching staff is going to be great, we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it yet. So now you're talking about taking it rather than trade. I mean, and on top of it, I got Kyle Shanahan, who I know is an unbelievable offensive coach that has great success with quarterbacks, willing to move off Jimmy Garoppolo, who had him in the Super Bowl, and trade away, I mean, multiple first-round picks and a third-round pick to get up to three.
Yeah. Someone he loves, not named Lawrence or Wilson. Let's go to Joey in Jersey City. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning, guys. Long-time Jeff fan. I just want to say, I'm not really convinced on getting rid of Sam until I fully see him at full strength with the weapons around him consistently. Not where I see week two, the receivers out for six games, and then maybe week seven, eight, Sam's out. I want to see a full.
But Joey, here's the problem. Here's the problem. You're not going to.
I agree what you guys are saying, but I don't want to see him go to another team.
Yeah, but Joey,
see him like not lighted up, but like oh.
Joey, it sounds like here's the one thing that I will say about Sam Darnold is it looks like now with where all these teams are at the position, I don't know if you'd have to worry about all of a sudden trading Sam Darnold and this upcoming season seeing him all of a sudden figure it out. It doesn't feel like he's going to get a job. Like whoever trades for him is going to all of a sudden make him the starting quarterback.
The only way that bothers me at all is if I trade Darnold, he's great, and whoever I take it to stinks. If I take Wilson or whoever, doesn't even matter who I take, and he's really good, and Darnold's really good, that's fine. That's a win-win. But if I take whoever and he stinks and Darnold's great, that would horrify me.
You know what?
Me.
Here's the thing, though. This is what's hard for me to explain to people is, you know, the thing that I go back to with Sam is, because I've been in a similar situation to Sam, is it's less about talent and more about what he's gone through mentally the last 3 years and where his confidence is at. And I spent the whole weekend, because I knew we were going to talk about this, trying to figure out how I could relate that to just your everyday life, things you deal with, right? And, you know, I came up with, like, if you adopt a pet that's been poorly treating, you know how timid that pet is when you first get the pet?
By the way, treating would be great if I could get that at some point.
Yeah, let's get treating.
Yeah. Yeah.
such a bad guy. But here, okay, here's another example that I think fits to how you feel as an athlete when all of a sudden you have no confidence and you can't, like, you're out there trying to, you know, rather than just play free and go out and make plays when you see him, you're actually, like, in your mind making a point not to make a mistake, which is the last place you want to be mentally. Because all you do is you actually make those mistakes you're trying to avoid. It's like, you know how you drive after you get pulled over?
You're terrified.
Like that's how yep. you feel. Like you're not even driving the speed limit. Like if it's 65, you're going like 50, looking over your shoulder.
Hands at 10 and 2, right? I mean, you're terrified. Yes,
that's how you feel. As opposed to when you're young, you get in the league. Like people expect you to make mistakes, and you have all this confidence because you were really good in college. That you think, okay, I'm here, I can do it. And then slowly, if you have success, that continues to grow. And if you don't, it starts to get chipped away. Like Sam's had three really bad years where he hasn't stayed healthy and he's been poorly coached. That's the question mark for me. Does he have tons of talent? He's got tons of talent. But I don't know where he's at mentally. And could you imagine if they pass up on a quarterback in this draft and Sam struggles early next season, what it's going to be like for
him? He'll get crushed.
He'll get destroyed.
And let's be fair. I don't know what your definition of struggle is, but it's hard to envision you're going to have a ton of wins next year. I mean, look at this division. You have six brutal games. Buffalo is really good. New England is going to be really good. Miami has the chance to be really good. I mean, you could take a huge step forward and still be 2-4 in this division.
Yeah, which is, again, I mean, and what we said the entire time is we all like Sam. We all think Sam is a really good kid, and he's been a good soldier for 3 years. But, I mean, financially, with where he's at, on top of the fact that now you have the second overall pick and a chance to address the position with someone that you draft as a coaching staff and as a GM that's your guy.
Yep.
It makes sense to do it.
It's what they're going to do. And this Hoops update brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Join Tipico Sportsbook in New Jersey and receive an instant deposit match up to $750. Let's make this interesting. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, tonight, 7:15, Oregon State in Houston. And because they hate me, there'll be a game that tips off at 10 o'clock, Arkansas and Baylor, which should be a good game, which will be very, very late. So I'll be working on 4 hours sleep tomorrow morning.
No, wah.
Oh, please.
Oh, wah. I don't want to DVR the game. Wah.
I'm not DVRing a game. A game of that magnitude, I refuse to DVR it.
See, I actually like DVR on games.
Ugh. Jump on a machine, watch a basketball game. Watch part of a game, be totally enthralled in it, and then say, all right, let me hit the DVR, record that, and go to bed. There's no way I would fall asleep.
I'm exhausted by the time. I mean, at 8:30, I can't even keep my eyes open.
What's a late night for you at this point?
A late night, 10.
So if you're up till 10, it's like, whoa, we are.
Yeah, 10's pushing it.
We are, really. Like, things
are happening here. We try to watch the college scandal that you told us to watch. Varsity Blues.
You didn't make it through it?
I couldn't make it through it.
Oh, but which is surprising to me because I thought it was great. Did you like it, what you saw?
No, I liked it. What I couldn't believe is how much money, like it's still, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around it. He's like, well, you know, these people are donating tens of millions of dollars, and sometimes that's not enough to get the kids into school.
That's right.
So we got to go the side door. Can't go back. Can't trust the back door. You got to go side door.
Yeah, well, some door.
Whatever door you choose, that's a lot of money. A
lot of money. And the guy would like rationalize it. Oh, it's only $150,000. That's all you got to give me. That's it.
You know what my favorite part was too? He's explaining to them the water polo, and he sends the whole kit, like the swimsuit and everything else, and the kid's standing in the pool, and he's not supposed to be standing in the pool.
He's like, no
one can get this high out of the water.
I know. The story is amazing. You absolutely have to watch it. You know what else I heard is good? I don't know if you've seen it yet or if it's been on past your bedtime. Yes Day, have you heard of that for the kids?
I saw Yes Day, yeah.
And is it good?
Nah, it gives them bad. I read the book. The kids have the book Yes Day, which is kind of loosely based on the book. It's Google way too many bad ideas with Yes Day.
Oh, really?
Because now they want to have a Yes Day, and there's a bunch of, I mean, they take it to the extreme in Yes Day. Like at one point in Yes Day, they go through a car wash, and part of the Yes Day's parents can't say no is they got to open the windows in the car wash.
Open the windows in the car wash.
Yeah, open the windows. So all the water and soap and everything comes into the car.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just because you watch the movie doesn't mean you have to put it into practice, though, does it?
You've had a six-year-old before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you understand how their mind works?
I do, but you're the parent. You tell them, I'm sorry, no.
You can't say no to Yes Day. That's the point. Now
well,
I look like a
no
jerk.
Prior to the Yes Day, before agreeing to the Yes Day, you'll say, listen, we'll do a Yes Day with parameters. We'll do your phone calls with parameters as well. You call, we'll take it. If you're terrible, we'll hang right up on you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you had a beautiful faux pas in the last segment. I'd like to bring it back, Santi, if we can.
If you adopt a pet that's been poorly treated.
Poorly treated? You're making up your own words.
If you adopt a pet that's been poorly treated,
you didn't want to go treated.
Poorly treated. No, I think that was where I was headed. I don't know where I got treating from.
This dog. Look at this poor dog.
He's been poorly
treated terribly throughout his life. poorly treated.
If you adopt a pet that's been poorly treated.
Oh, man. You're a gift. Let's go.
I'm telling
Chris.
You right now, my dad is looking more and more like Dickie V every single day.
Really?
I'm looking at Dickie V right now, Mike. That could be, like, if I glance quickly, I'm like, what the hell is my dad doing
on
KJZ?
I've only met your dad on a couple of occasions, but never once did it go through my mind that he looks like Dick Vitale.
I got to get him to send me a picture. He looks, dude, I'm telling you right now. Dickie V's a little bit more gray. Like, my dad's got still a little bit of.
And your dad's got to be, I would say, 12 to 15 years younger than Dick Vitale.
Yeah, but if you did that app that makes you look older, like he would look like that's where he's headed. Like Dickie
By
v
the
is
way,
where my dad will be.
Did you see me with that app as a woman?
You're gorgeous. Hey,
I'm gorgeous.
You actually, it's funny you say that because I showed Cassie that. You look like one of my sister-in-law's really, really good friends. Like almost identical. Like you could be twins.
But forget about it. If I look like her, I'm beautiful.
I think you're a better looking woman than you are a man.
I think that's probably true.
Take it.
Kay looked like. Tell me, Kay didn't look like Monica Lewinsky.
Awful.
He looked like Monica Lewinsky.
He did. He looked terrible. Don looked gorgeous. Peter was beautiful. I was sensational. Michael did not look good.
Well, what are you saying? Monica Lewinsky's not bad looking.
I didn't think Michael looked great as a woman. I think Michael's a better
You're
looking
just nasty
man
towards
than he is
Michael.
A woman.
What's going on with you two? You guys used to be close. I don't understand why it's back and forth with you two.
Well, first of all, there is an issue. I'm not sure what it is. That's for starters. But the K-Show does start. And you're a bad guy. Because I said the K-Show starts at 2 o'clock. I'm like, it's 2 o'clock. And you jump in. No, it's 1:55. And then I get a text from Ryan Hurley. It's 2 o'clock. Why would you jump in with that if you don't know
Get mad at me. I didn't do it. Don LaGreca tweeted it. I'm going off with the guy on the show. Said, although you
2 o'clock. The K show starts at 2 o'clock. All I said, by the way, and that starts today, 2 o'clock to 6:30, and then Carlin takes over. All I said is that I don't think Michael looked like a beautiful woman. Who is a more attractive woman, me or Michael? Be honest.
Michael.
You know what? You are the worst. I was gorgeous as a woman.
All right, here you go. Don't get mad at me. I'm sitting here looking at Don's Twitter right now. Question. Someone tweeted in. Is there going to be a 155 lead-in segment for the new hours? Don LaGreca, yes. I'm just reading. I'm reading what Don LaGreca said.
Well,
don't get mad
true.
At me.
Don's a liar. It's 2 o'clock, and it starts today at 2 o'clock.
Now you're going to take shots at Don.
Well, I love Don, but he told a mistruth. I want to go all the way upstate and bring in Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. Where upstate are you? How far upstate?
Saratoga.
All right. I guess that's upstate. I'll give you that.
I work upstate, like Selkirk, too, as well.
Chris, you don't have to prove yourself to Dave, Chris. Chris, don't feel like you have to prove yourself to Dave.
Is that
you're
a prove
upstate
yourself
York,
thing?
That's fine.
I want to know. I want to learn the inner workings of Chris before we bring him on air. I want to know where upstate, where does he work? Chris, are you married with children? I like to know that kind of thing.
I have a girlfriend. We have a house in Corinth.
Ooh, okay. Now, let me ask you this. Do you own the house in conjunction with the girlfriend?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Now, what happens? What happens? God forbid, if the relationship doesn't make it, who gets the house?
She gets the house.
Oh, all right,
Chris. So you know, I do weddings. Just so you know, Chris, I do weddings.
Yes,
you do weddings. Oh, definitely. I'll have to take your number.
Consider me, yep,
Chris. There is zero chance that the girlfriend says yes. Let's get married. Upstate, Chris, and let's have Rick perform the wedding. There is zero chance that happens.
I'll come riding in on a thoroughbred, right? A racehorse, right out of Saratoga.
I think you would do it. I don't think she would agree to it, and I don't think she should. Chris, now that we know all about
she'd
kill you. Of course she would, and rightfully so. Where do you want to go here with the Jets, Chris?
So they're going to draft Zach Wilson. He's not day one starter, is he?
I think if you draft him, he is a day one starter, yeah.
You don't think they give Sam Darnold day one starter?
No.
No,
Chris, Sam Darnold will not be here once you draft Zach Wilson. No.
Okay, no, they're going to trade. Chris, if they draft Zach Wilson at 2, they're going to trade Sam Darnold. I wouldn't mind if they do decide to draft Zach Wilson at 2 or whoever it ends up being, I wouldn't mind them signing Alex Smith.
That'd be fun. I'd like that. That'd be a great
move. I would
move.
Like that a lot.
Let him learn from him. Great guy. Good quarterback.
Smart.
If Wilson's not ready, you wouldn't feel any compunction about, you know, throwing him out there, let him start a game or two.
Yeah, and everything you've heard from him, every young quarterback that he's worked with has nothing but great things to say about
him.
Great
things to say about him. That kind of stinks, though, right? The guy leads you to a division championship, and now he can't find work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the head coach comes out and says every time he was on the field, he felt like he was afraid his leg was going to break. I mean, that's not a great endorsement.
I think we all felt like that, though, right? He was the one guy that I've ever watched in pro sports that I was nervous for every single play. Every single play. Terrified.
Yeah, but I mean, I had anxiety watching him. But I mean, the fact, could you imagine being one of his teammates and watching what he went through? Because I'm sure all the guys watched it. And then to actually see him on the field?
No.
What terrified. Could you complain about ever?
There's nothing. That guy's come back from, what, 30 surgeries or whatever the case is, the number is?
He almost died,
Dave. His kids, what it must have been like to be his kids and have dad at death's door, comes back and then is going to play that game again.
No, I couldn't even, but that was part of the reason why he decided that he wanted to come back, was to show his kids.
That you can do anything?
That you can do anything. Can you imagine being his wife?
No.
And having like the doctor come to you and say, hey, we may have to cut his leg off. What do you want us to do? Like, that's your decision?
Be awful.
I give that guy so much credit, man. And he would be great for a young quarterback.
Great. I would love for the Jets to bring him in.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Ian Begley. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Fellas, what's going on?
There's a lot to get into with you. So tell me this. How close were the Knicks to make any trade at the deadline, and is Lonzo Ball still realistically someone that they could pursue and go after and acquire this offseason?
Right. So from what I heard, they were talking to New Orleans as late as the day of the deadline about a Lonzo deal. And at New Orleans, I guess the price was high, and because Chicago wanted New Orleans, they didn't land them. So I have to assume the price was really high. So the Knicks didn't want to extend themselves to get a guy that is going to be a restricted free agent. And Dave, to your point, you know, somebody who was, you know, privy to the talks, to the dynamic between the Knicks and the Pelicans and Lonzo, felt pretty strongly that the Knicks would be re-engaging Lonzo in the offseason. They would have interest in Lonzo in the offseason. He'll be a restricted free agent. So, you know, they could just outbid New Orleans, or it could be another sign-and-trade scenario. I don't think Lonzo's the only point guard on their radar this offseason. But I think, they will at least reconsider or consider him again once we hit free agency this offseason.
Yeah, but Bagels, why is New Orleans so... why are they so interested in getting rid of Lonzo Ball?
You know, the thing that I had heard, you know, as recently as a couple weeks back was even, you know, coming into it, that regime wasn't that high on Lonzo. And, you know, maybe he goes crazy the next couple months of this regular season and they change their mind. But teams who were interested in Lonzo felt leading up to the deadline that he was on the way out. And maybe it has to do with you can only pay so many guys because they have a bunch of young guys that they're going to have to commit long-term money to in the future. So maybe that is part of it. But he really was not a great shooter, not even a good shooter for a long time, even starting earlier this season. And he's starting to shoot the ball well. So that was probably part of it too. But I think maybe it's a financial thing, and it's just, you know, they're looking to get some assets back on a player that they don't think they'll re-sign.
The Knicks pretty much stood pat. Nothing big at the trade deadline. Do you expect this offseason, and we want to ask you about this season as well moving forward, but do you expect this offseason the Knicks to be like tons of activity? Like, will this be a completely reshaped team heading into next year?
I don't get the sense that they're like there yet where they're going to strike and go crazy this summer. But I do think they'll be appropriately aggressive. I don't think it's going to be a whole new team, though, because what you're looking at now is Julius Randle, who he went from a player last offseason where you felt like he was probably going to be traded, to now, you know, he's going to be a part of what you're building going forward. So they don't have to extend him this offseason because he's still under contract for next year, but he's going to be here. And I think a lot of the core parts that we're seeing right now, like the R.J. Barrett's, maybe even Alec Burks comes back. I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of turnover like we've seen in years past. I think you're going to have a little more continuity. But that being said, you know, there's no star out there this summer because all these guys have really stayed with their current teams, so the market's not great. But I think they're going to be aggressive. Maybe there's a point guard that they add, whether it's Lonzo or somebody else, and then we'll see what they do in the draft. But for them, more so than free agency, I think what you're looking at is the trade market and who may or may not become available, because they felt for a long time that they're well-positioned for that big trade if and when someone comes available, because they have the draft picks, they have the cap space, they have some young players that teams like. So I think you're looking trade more so than free agency when you're talking about big upgrades for this roster.
Bagels, can you somehow make it possible that De'Aaron Fox becomes available for us to trade for, please?
You like him, huh, Rick?
Oh, man.
Terrific.
Kentucky guy, too. You connect the dots. Bagels, how big, in your opinion, is the... And they've been fine when he was out with the hand, but how big, you know, down the stretch here is the loss of Mitchell Robinson going to be for the Knicks?
You know, it's tough for a couple of reasons. But one, obviously such a talented player. But two, you know, he could get an extension this offseason, right? So part of the reason the Knicks had cooled on Andre Drummond was because they liked who they had there with Mitchell Robinson, Nerlens Noel, Taj Gibson. But also, they saw this rest of the regular season, whatever playoffs they're going to be involved in, as an opportunity to evaluate Mitchell Robinson more as a starter and kind of have more, you know, more to look at so they can make an informed decision on whether you extend him, whether you just pick up his option this summer. So this was a tough timing for Mitch, for the Knicks, for everybody. But you have to like how Nerlens Noel played the last few weeks with Robinson out with the hand. So the hope is he can do that again. I'm sure they're going to sign a big man to help supplement things with one of their open roster spots. Maybe they add two. And I think that based on what Nerlens did last time when Mitch was out, you have to be optimistic that he can hold the fort down during his next absence.
SNY's basketball insider, superstar Ian Begley with us here on 98.7 ESPN. So we get these, and you remember when you worked at ESPN, these emails, and BPI, the Basketball Power Index. Rick, I don't even know if you've seen this yet. They give a percentage for every team in the Eastern Conference to be a top six team. So Philly's at 100%. Yeah. Boston is at 89.4%. Guess what the Knicks are right now? They're in fourth right now. Guess what their percentage is to be a top six team at the end of the season?
Top six, man. I'm going to say, I don't know, 40-something?
6%. 6% is the Knicks' odds, according to BPI, to be a top six team. What? I mean, I understand they have a difficult schedule. They have cleared every hurdle beautifully so far this year. At what point do we start to buy into the Knicks as a team that, listen, they're not going to win a championship, but they can be a top six team in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think you have to add another piece, and you have to show like more of a sustained period of solid play to buy into like being top six every year. That's just my read on it. You know, the BPI, it's funny, Dave, my last few years at ESPN, the Knicks were so bad, I never even checked it because there was no reason to think of them as being top six. I was more so checking the lottery odds, but I think top six, yeah, it's, you know, Chicago got a lot better at the deadline. Boston made moves. So, you know, maybe some of it is based on that lack of activity for the Knicks. I think best case scenario for the Knicks is getting into that, you know, play-in tournament and securing a playoff spot that way. Six does seem a little high. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't doubt BPI. You know, BPI is solid. They know more than the three of us, and I think we have to go with that.
It sounds like a medical condition. Make sure you go get your BPI tested. Bagels, what have you heard? Dave's starting to get a little concerned. I'm not at all, by the way, Ian.
Not even a little bit.
I'm not saying about
What's
James
Dave
Harden.
Worried about?
No, I'm not asking him that question. I'm going to ask him. Dave's starting to get a little concerned about Kevin Durant and his health and where he is moving forward. I'm not there yet. What have you heard about Kevin Durant and this hamstring?
I think you have to be concerned because you haven't heard much. All you've heard is they were hoping to have him back pre-All-Star break. And then they pushed it back, and now, you know, every update seems to make it, a couple more days, a couple more weeks. Now, James Harden said he might be back this coming week, so I guess that's encouraging. But, you know, the idea that he's got a hamstring now, and you can't help but maybe worry that it's connected to the Achilles. They don't think it is. But I think there has to be a level of concern there. But, you know, he came back. He has come back beautifully from that injury. And so, you know, you can't question what you saw from him on the floor. He's been phenomenal. So I guess you have to have a level of optimism there. But there should be some concern just because of the nature of the hamstring injury, how long he's been out, the lack of information, and the idea that he's coming off this major injury. So I would be a little concerned.
All right. So let's just say, and Ian Begley with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Let's just say for argument's sake, he comes back and he comes back healthy. Do you believe that the Nets are the best team in the NBA, like that they will win the whole thing? Or do you still say the Lakers are right there eye to eye with them?
I'm going to still go with the Lakers, but I do think the Nets fully healthy are right there. And the reason I say that is because it's really James Harden and the way he's approached things since he's come to Brooklyn. Cause you know, we all were wondering how's this going to work when they trade for Harden? How do you make it work with Harden, Durant, Kyrie Irving? To James Harden's credit, you know, he came in and he was a facilitator from day one. And he's kind of gone back and forth between facilitating and scoring when they needed to score. So he's made the necessary adjustments to make this thing work. And as has Kyrie Irving. And with Kevin Durant, we didn't think he was going to have an issue with adjustments. So because of that Harden dynamic and the way he has played, I think they're going to be humming. But if and when Durant comes back healthy, I'm sure he will. And they've added so much, you know, Marcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, they have Nick Claxton, who's come on really strongly, and they have depth. So I think they're right there. I just go with the Lakers because I'm not betting against LeBron until I see him lose, especially coming off of a year that he's won with Anthony Davis. If those guys get healthy, I think just because of the continuity and the fact that they've done it before, I would take them over the Nets at the moment.
Bagels, some would say that James Harden is playing at an MVP level.
Here we go.
How do you feel about that?
Well, is that what Dave is worried about? No.
Dave is not worried, Ian. Dave is not worried. Rick and I made a wager. I have an embarrassing video that has never been seen by anybody outside of, I think, just my wife, the only person in the whole world. And I said, and I've told him about the video. I said, I will release the video if Harden wins MVP. That's how confident I am. And if Rick loses, he has to donate money to Chris's charity. So I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. My point is he's not going to win the MVP. Just to set the record straight here, by the way.
So when did you make the declaration?
I don't know, two weeks ago, 10 days ago, something like that.
Oh, so he was already playing really well. He was already
he's great. Okay. I'm not saying he's not deserving.
Yes. Tell him, Bagels.
You think he's going to win MVP?
I'm conflicted. I really want to see the video. Like I'm
forget
so
about
intrigued.
The video for a moment. Put it out of your head. You believe that James Harden wins the MVP?
Okay. No, I think the Houston thing will factor in a way that prevents him from winning it. That's just how I see it. You have to take the whole thing in totality, and I don't think he'll get that kind of recognition because of what happened with Houston and how he forced his way out. Right or wrong, I think that's ultimately how the voters will see it. So that's unfortunate for our audience and fans of Rothenberg. We won't get to see that, but I think it'll play out that way.
I love Begley, by the way, Rick. I love the fact, like, he's this huge, I mean, Woj is like all the time, Ian Begley said this, and everyone loves Begley. And he's like, the first thing he says is, well, I want to see the video, so yeah, I hope Harden wins. I mean, you can't even put your journalistic hat on for a second, Ian.
I can't do it. I'm totally compromised right now. Dave, I love this bet, by the way. Great job.
Thank you. I mean, and the kids win. Think about that for a minute. The kids get a pizza party and a playground if, in fact, Harden doesn't win. Isn't that more important than a silly video?
No.
Listen, I'll match whatever the bet was to help the kids out. I will. I need this video.
You want in on the bet, by the way?
All I'm saying is I want the video so bad that I will replenish whatever was going through the kids. I'll do it. I mean,
wow.
Provided that.
So here's what I'd like now. I'd like the kids to win. If Harden wins the MVP and Rick is off the hook because now he doesn't have to give the $250 to Chris Canty's charity to help the children, you will swoop in and give the $250 and I will have to release the video if Harden wins the MVP.
I'm done. Let's do it.
Boom.
I need the video.
Boom. Ian, you're a great man.
Let me say this. I don't think I have an MVP vote. I want to say that. So I won't be, pulling any strings.
But you know
otherwise you'd be like Tim Donaghy if you had
Ian,
an MVP
you know people.
Vote.
Explain to people that you know with votes what this means if Harden gets the MVP.
But you can't go on a crusade now for James Harden. Like calling up Woj. Hey, listen, AW, here's what I'm going to need from you. Can you do me a favor? Give me a solid vote for James Harden. No, you can't start doing that.
It's not in the rules. You can do exactly. Ian,
no.
Do not listen to Dave.
No,
whatever
you're
going to
lose
done,
your job.
Make it happen.
Don't do it, Ian. Be a terrible thing by you.
Now, listen. This is going to be fair and square. And I, quite honestly, I couldn't care less about the MVP. I just need the video. So I'm going to play it straight, but I'm rooting very hard for the outcome that I think we all are rooting for as an audience of the show.
All right. Well, Ian.
Anyway, can I tweet the video once it's.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's going to be out there.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Now, the one thing I will say is that as bad as it would be embarrassing for me personally, for our show as a collective unit, of which Canty is about, he's working at like 62% now with his availability on the show. I would say it would be wonderful for the show and for some conversation out there. Yes.
I can only imagine.
Ian,
this could be a missed opportunity, too.
It.
By the way, this could be a missed opportunity.
What?
I mean, we want to partner up with Make-A-Wish. I'm thinking we can, I mean, the K-Show got, what, $33,000 for them to do the Yankees game?
Yeah.
Releasing this video, I would imagine that we could get more than $33,000.
I would imagine as such. I would imagine as such.
Absolutely.
Ian, listen.
Yeah. Yes.
I was going to say goodbye, but if you want to stay with us, you can.
No, you get me out of here. I'm just more than excited for the MVP results.
Thank God you don't have a vote. I didn't even think of that. Ian, we'll talk to you soon, man. Don't be a stranger, really. We love you.
Love you guys. Take care.
All right, that, of course, the great Ian Begley. Did you see how excited he was by this?
Yeah, I don't think we missed this opportunity. I got to be honest. I think we have to recalibrate what we're doing here.
We'll think about it off the air at another moment. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Let's get back to the NFL as far as Darnold is concerned, as far as Zach Wilson, as far as what John Mara had to say to Ian O'Connor. We'll get through that in just a moment. Let's go to Kenny in the truck. Kenny, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are we doing? Good morning, Kenny. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Let me get down to the nitty-gritty. I think Joe Douglas and the Jets, we're in a perfect position right now. Because Miami trading down, that means we're in the Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson sweepstakes. If you want a sure-shot quarterback, you don't go to the draft. You go with what's already proven. And Deshaun Watson, at 26 years old, is well worth the wait. Now, these are the three dark nights I got us on draft night. Preferably Atlanta. We trade with Atlanta to the fourth. We won't get a ton, but if we do trade with Atlanta, we'll be able to get draft Sewell and make a play for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. If not, Carolina. We could do with them. Worst come to worst. Remember, I'm telling you this now. Chicago Bears, we can get them real big. Get four first-round draft picks and bring Khalil Mack over because we could absorb his cap hit. What do you guys think about that? Because to build the future, you need an O-line. We have so much needs. We need an O-line, and we need a quarterback for the next 10 years. And Joe Douglas can get it right with this draft.
Why can't I do both? Here's what I don't understand. Why can't I take the quarterback at two? And then at 23, and then what I get for Darnold, and then with the second pick in the second round, why can't I build my offensive line that way?
You can, but this is the thing. We already know what Deshaun Watson is. Russell Wilson is already a champion. None of these rookie quarterbacks, God bless them, they're probably going to be great. But right now, if I'm going to sacrifice my job, I want to make sure I got the best thing available. And we're in a position because right now we hold all the marbles. And do not make a move until draft night. Somebody's going to bite. I'm telling you guys. Tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, but Kenny, if you trade your second pick to Atlanta, you're not going to – I mean, that the whole beauty of having the second pick if you want to trade for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson is they have the opportunity now to pick their quarterback at two if they want it. Why are you going to trade down to four and then trade for Deshaun Watson? That wouldn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Listen, I'm a proponent. I love Deshaun Watson. I mean, I think what's happening with him off the field right now has to be a huge red flag. But as far as talent-wise on the field, I think he's great. I'm not opposed to that. I think he's a wonderful quarterback. I'd love to have him. I've said that from the whole jump of this thing.
We've all said that.
If I can get Deshaun Watson, I would make a huge play for him. I almost think you can't overpay to bring him into the mix.
No, but I mean, unforeseen circumstances now. He's dealing with this. I mean, you see teams now making decisions. Like Miami was one of the teams that we thought would be interested in Deshaun Watson. And they end up trading back and then trading back up to six. That's a huge question mark with what his situation is. Now, does it give the Jets? I mean, does now all of a sudden, you know, the Jets become a team that Deshaun Watson would consider because he has no real options? Probably. But I never got the sense that that was what Joe Douglas intended to do.
I don't think so. I mean, we always thought, and I think all of us on the show, believed that that was the move that you should go after. But it never felt like Joe Douglas wanted to make a play for Deshaun Watson. It always felt like he wants to kind of organically build this thing.
But it never felt like Deshaun Watson wanted to be a Jet either.
No.
I'm just saying that maybe that changes now because of the situation that he's in. Like, I mean, if you don't have any options just to get out of Houston, the Jets would be, you know, could be one of those options. I just never thought that Joe Douglas was all, like, he was going to call and see what it would take to get Deshaun Watson. But, I mean, for the amount he would have to give up, I think he would probably rather take the quarterback at two and then build the team through the draft.
Especially, I mean, listen, and we don't know, and that's the thing. It's unknown, it's unproven. But if you really believe Zach Wilson is going to be a star quarterback and you have true conviction about that, I think that makes sense. You take him, you're not mortgaging, you know, multiple other first-round picks. You have him for cheap for a number of years. That's the best way for the Jets to be good. That to me, is the best fix. Now, it's not the easiest, it's not the quickest, it's the smartest fix. If you believe that Wilson's going to be a star player, that's the way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson's talent plus whatever you're going to get with those other picks that you'd have to give up. I mean, that's what you're weighing. We love Wilson. He's obviously not proven like Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, but him plus whatever we have, those picks that we would have had to spend to get those other quarterbacks, we can address a bunch of different needs that will make us a better team moving forward.
Yes, exactly that. All right, once more, I want to tell you, and you're going to hear it all the day, and then at 2 o'clock you're going to actually hear it. The K-Show starts 2 o'clock moving forward every day. Not 1:55, 2 o'clock today, the K-Show till 6:30, and then Chris Carlin takes over here on 98.7. ESPN.
And it's nice. You'll have all three hosts on the show for the entire show, which is great.
Which is a treat. I mean, any show that has that as a luxury is really very fortunate. All right. Let's go. Santi, 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
Okay, I'm going to preface this by saying, yes, we're going to get another Dave Rothenberg sweep in here. So I'm going to start.
Yes!
I'm going to start small. I'm going to start slow.
Dave, dominating.
Dave, I did want to commend you for early on in the show talking about the growth that you had not watching games live, or rather DVRing them for Passover this weekend. Although I do have to subtract a little bit of points for streaming, what do you say, during the Seder?
Saturday night at my mom's house during the Seder, I was able to nuzzle my phone right up to my water glass, and we watched on our side of the table, we watched a little Villanova Baylor. Yeah, it was very well played.
I got to subtract a couple demerits for that.
Number two,
and steadily rising are the chances that we get to see this video. You just heard Ian Begley. Now, I trust Ian Begley. I love his integrity. He's a great guy. I need him to do everything he can to get those MVP votes for James Harden up. I think this is going to happen, and I'm feeling good about it.
It's not going to happen. You guys are so confident.
Push starts
absolutely
now.
Absolutely no reason.
Push starts.
Harden
right
for
now,
MVP.
Like,
tell everyone you know.
I do love the fact, by the way, that Begley said if Harden does win MVP and you don't have to donate the money, he will step up and donate the money. Now the kids are winners no matter what. I do like that.
Because Ian Begley's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Number one.
I'm just going to let this stand on its own.
Who is a more attractive woman, me or Michael? Be honest.
I got nothing to add. Great show, guys. Great show.
I'm telling you, there's an app out there, and it shows what this man would look like as a woman. Can you deny this, Rick? I was a gorgeous woman.
Beautiful woman. Much better looking woman than you are a man.
I agree with that. I was a phenomenal woman. Don, also a very sexy woman.
I haven't seen the Don one yet. I only saw you and Michael.
Don looked beautiful.
Finkel is Einhorn.
I was a little bit worried. All right. So we're going to put a bow on this today. KJZ coming up in just a moment. A lot of talk about the big NFL trade. Dolphins go from 3 to 12 and then up to 6. And, of course, this article on Daniel Jones of what John Mara had to say in the New York Post. So tons going on. KJZ coming your way right now. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. And it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, sometimes Canty, Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.